procession, what tells the story of Christmas and the birth of Jesus. So that's the one that you know will resonate. So the entertainment will be different. The food will be different. We have a scavenger hunt that, while we designed it for kids, we have just as many adults do the scavenger hunt, where they try to find different icons throughout throughout the festival. So it really is something for kids as well. We do paint by numbers. We do Animators Academy. So it's a combination of food, entertainment, merchandise, and family-friendly activities that really incorporate what a festival is. Food is a component, but it's not the only thing. So it's part of balancing the entire story.
So it's like a total immersion. You could travel around the world in how many days is the festival?
It depends. There are some of our festivals which could be as short as 35 days. Other festivals can be as long as 122 days. So there's about a month of the year that we're not in the festival. So obviously, it takes a lot of work to, one festival ends, to strike one of those and then set up the next festival. But it's almost year-round, not quite, but there's probably going to be about a month of days, that about 30 days where we won't be in festival mode. But again, we have 11 countries with a lot of food already.
Yeah.
So even if you come on a non-festival day, if you go hungry at this park, there's something wrong.
Well, it sounds like a totally immersive experience. And I didn't realize when you said festival, I thought it was like a couple of days. So pretty much this is how you operate Epcot with a little bit of time off. But it's a totally immersive experience all year round, just depending on what the theme is.
Yeah, and Marianne, it didn't start that way. It started off with just food and wine and Flower and Garden many years ago. And it's grown over time. But we do have people that will literally travel, fly, book room nights just for the festival. And
I can believe it.
They either love their performer that they used to go to a concert to, or they're fans of Broadway, or they're culinary aficionados, and they love all the diversity of content. And there's some folks that come and do that. They'll fly, stay in a hotel. Get to our park. They may never ride one ride.
Yeah,
they're just here to experience the festival. It's we're very proud of the content and guests love it. And there's some guests, even our some guests that are local, will come 4, 5, 8, 10 times during some of our festivals, because when you have 140 items, they want to try it all, and you just can't do it in one day.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, it's pretty massive. I would imagine under the new rules of the world, where it's going to be a lot more difficult to travel, that there are a lot of people like me who would go to Europe fairly frequently who might just go there and, have an immersive experience, because you're just not leaving the country. Anyway, it sounds really interesting, and I really appreciate you all being with us today, because I think that this kind of cross-cultural experience is great, and I just think everyone should try it.
We agree. And thank you for having both of us, and we appreciate it and hope everyone has a great new year.
Yes, to you too. Take care. Thank you very much. This is Epcot We've been talking about the food at Epcot, and I think we went like one time. And it's been a long time ago. I don't remember how much we did of eating, because we had the little kids then. But I think it would be really kind of fun to experience the interpretation of the food of 11 different countries in one place. 556-9696. We'll be back just for a little more chat after this.
Mandeville Seafood has been a local favorite, serving their house-made roast beef poor boys, seafood poor boys, and even a French fry poor boy in a fast, casual environment. Here is an extensive menu of salads and sandwiches and fried seafood, baskets and platters, as well as sides like stuffed artichokes, meat pies, and jalapeno cheese bites. And we love the very attentive service here at Mandeville Seafood Restaurant and Market, celebrating 25 years. Basil's Ace Hardware has been the center for your grilling needs for over 15 years. That's when I first got my big green egg, which I use more than ever lately. Fred also has Traeger grills and Weber grills and all the accessories for them, charcoal and pellets and propane, as well as rubs and grilling utensils. Remember, a great cookout always begins with the right hardware. Basil's Ace Hardware, 4419 Transcontinental Metairie, 888-8588. Autumn in New York, why does it seem so inviting?
All righty. I want to mention that we were talking about king cakes earlier, and if you are looking for king cakes, both the French kind and our kind, don't go any further than Maurice's French Pastries. Jean-Luc Albin has been over there on Hesmer, representing very admirably his European heritage. He's got 25 different versions of Kugelhopf on the menu. He's got king cakes, our thing. We have 7 different d'auberge cakes there and specialty king cakes year-round. But now, stacked high, like every place else, there are all different kinds of king cakes. There are also individual pastries in the case that you can try when you go pick up something or order something. They have a little place to sit for coffee and have a little pastry. There are individual pastries that you may want to order for your carnival parties. They have vol-au-vents and oyster patty shells and a lot of different kinds of pastries, all delicious at Maurice's French Pastries. You can call them to place an order, 885-1526, or go on over and see them on Hesmer at 3501 Hesmer in Metairie. That's Maurice's French Pastries. Patty, have you been to Epcot?
Not in 40 years. I was there when the first year it opened, we were there.
Me too.
And yeah. I haven't been back since.
Oh, really? Okay. So you're, Patty, how could you? You denied your children a rite of passage in America by not taking them to Disney World.
Well, my children are older than yours. And like we took our grandkids to, we were actually at Disney World on 9/11 with the two boys. They closed it and, gave everybody free passes when they left. Uh-huh. And then about 4 or 5 years later, my daughter took the two boys to Disney World one summer.
So, less traumatic version.
Yes.
we took Jude when he was 2.5. Tom was going to a conference there. And Mary Lee was in utero. And for 19 years, she teased me about denying her birthright as an American and not going to Disney World. And so when she was 19, she and I jumped in the car and went to Disney World. And we had a ball.
Oh, I bet.
And then we had such a good time that we went back, was it a year later or 2 years later? Actually, it was 3 years later. And had much less of a good time. And so I think that her Disney World itch has been scratched. Actually, she wound up living there for a little while because she did the meet and greet space. She did the scenic work on the meet and greet space for the new robot at Disney. Yeah. And so she actually got her fill of it then, but she couldn't see anything else. It was like they were in this insular little world where all she did was go and work on what she was working on, and that was it. But I think she's had her fill now of Disney. But I'm really intrigued by that festival. That sounds kind of interesting. I don't know that we might have gone to Epcot, but I'm thinking maybe we didn't, because I don't think we did when I was there with Jude. And then, of course, 19 years went by. So maybe I've never set foot in Epcot. I don't know. I don't even remember. But it is, I think it's something that I could definitely do now that I'm probably not going to be crossing the ocean anytime, you know? Mm-hmm. All right. That was interesting, though. Those guys were very nice and very interesting. A couple last things in the almanac before we close out the day and the week. Words to eat by today are from Alan Patrick Hebert, or Herbert, probably, because he's a British author in the early 1900s. A highbrow is the kind of person who looks at a sausage and thinks of Picasso.
What?
I know. I was about to say, am I being dense? Am I missing something? I don't understand that.
Me either.
I really don't. I'm sorry. Wait. Okay. So the second half of that. Oh, no, that's not true. Alleged to be the last words of French poet Paul Claudel, "Doctor, do you think it could have been the sausage?" Words to drink by from Pappy Maverick, who I think has nothing to do with Pappy Van Winkle. But this is from the TV show Maverick. "Never cry over spilt milk. It could have been whiskey." Well, that's something I guess certain people would certainly cry over. Fanny Farmer published her first cookbook today in 1896. It was originally entitled The Boston Cooking School Cookbook. But with millions of copies in print, it's now known as the Fanny Farmer Cookbook. Do you have that one, Patty?
I do.
Supposed to be. You mm-hmm. do? Do you ever use it?
Every now and then I use it whenever I get creative and decide that uh-huh. I'm going to make something from scratch. I'll pull out that one in The Joy of Cooking just to uh-huh. make sure
so
I get
like
the measurements
staples.
And stuff right. Yeah.
Why did you buy it? Like, what prompted you to buy it?
I think somebody gave it to me, actually.
Oh, okay. It became famous because it was the first book to specify exact quantities for all ingredients. It was much welcomed by people who'd never cooked before. There you go, Patty. That's for you. Not that you've never cooked before, but... You know, that you, I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you have questions like, you know, can you substitute something for
right.
something?
Or... Yes. I have a book of substitutions. Anybody who wants to know that, I have a book of substitutions here. I can tell you what you should substitute. Maybe we'll do that sometime just for fun.
Oh, yeah. That would
the
be
Tower
fun.
Of Pisa. What? What'd you say?
That would be fun.
Yeah, what Tower of Pisa? Maybe we'll do that in our desperate moments. Whose image appears in more Italian restaurants than any other was closed to the public today. In 1990, its famous tilt had gone a little too far. And for the next 11 years, it was shored up and stabilized. It's back open now. Patty, did you go there when you went to Italy?
Yes, we did. And yeah. we climbed all the way to the top.
Oh, I love that. Listen, I embarrassed my kids so badly because, you know, the stone has been... For millennia, the stone has been worn smooth. And when I got to the top, I was so scared I was crawling around. But are you shocked by the number of people who are doing that stupid thing where they pose like they're holding up the Tower of Pisa?
Oh, yeah,
they're
we
like
did
everywhere.
That.
They're
we
everywhere.
Did it.
We did it too, but everybody yeah. was doing it. Yeah. As many times as you've seen pictures of the Campanile, which is what it's really called, seeing it in real life will stop you in your tracks. To give you an example of why I don't usually travel with Tom, or never did really travel with Tom, he was down at the bottom and we were up at the top waving to him. He didn't feel like climbing all those steps. I mean, how could you go to there and not go up? I don't understand
really?
That. I don't understand it. All right, that's it for us for today. I'm sorry for yelling. I think I yelled right into the mic. I'm Marianne Fitzmaurice. We have been talking about food here on this last day of the week, TGIF, the first week of the new year, and I want to tell you that you should go to nomenu.com where there's 50 years of Tom's labor, 400 some odd recipes, the podcast, the list of open restaurants, extinct restaurants, restaurant reviews, and just a lot of general information about food in general and New Orleans food in particular. You can go there at the top right hand of the front page, sign up for the newsletter, which is actually coming out again. We also have our Instagram page at the New Orleans Menu. Tim McNally is coming up next with the Dine, Wine, and Spirits show, and we'll be back at this time on Monday, 2 o'clock, WGSO New Orleans News Time, Louisiana Radio Network. Good night, 4 o'clock.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Another day, another huge batch of flight delays and cancellations. Travelers can't seem to catch a break as the number of flights affected has surpassed 5,600. Airports along the East Coast are bearing the brunt of the problem as snow moved through the...
...off down the Yellow Brick Road. So I'll stop and we'll take a break and we'll be right back. 556-9696.
Keith Young's Steakhouse on the North Shore in Madisonville is everything anyone thinks of when a steakhouse comes to mind. The environment is elegant and handsome. The service staff is knowledgeable, attentive, and friendly. And most important, the steaks are superb. The steakhouse sides are also great. Keith Young's Steakhouse, 165 Highway 21, Madisonville, 985-845-9940. When you're awake, the things you think come from the dreams you dream. Thought has wings, and lots of things are seldom what they seem.
Thank you, Tom. The Deaf Dining Rule number 744 is about hot sausage. Hot sausage, in fact, all really spicy foods are at their best when eating them brings you to the threshold of pain from the pepper. You know, there's a lot said about that sort of thing. I don't get it. Do you, Patty?
No, I don't.
I don't want pain. I don't want to be at that threshold. Especially don't understand it when you're eating. And there apparently is like a chemical thing to that. We had this guy on. Actually, one of those books that I would love to give away was called, I don't remember the name of it, but it was by a guy. I remember his name. His name was Denver Nix. And he wrote a book. He's not from here, but he's lived here for a while. And he wrote a book about chilies and pepper. And I had him on. We talked a long time. And he was explaining how peppers worked in your body. And he was all about the threshold of pain thing, that it's a very real thing, and how it worked in your body chemically. And I listened to all that and I thought, okay, well, I'm sure there are people who would get into that, but I'm not one of them. The old kitchen sage has something a little weird today. Tom said he knew of a short maker of sausage with red pepper. He'd pack them in a cold box and then he would schlep them to a sandwich shop Mondays, where in lieu of a bill, he'd accept as his payment his appetite's fill. Oh, I see. So this is a poem, but it's not written as such. I knew a short maker of sausage with red pepper. He'd pack them in a cold box, and then he would schlepper to a sandwich shop Mondays, where in lieu of a bill, he'd accept as his payment his appetite's fill of red beans and white beans and really hot chili filled with his product. But even so, still he kept the circle unbroken until he retired, not rich, but quite famous from the patties he'd fried. We're laughing because, you know, we don't understand it, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. The Edible Dictionary word today is brought to you by Dorignex, one of the top 20 regional supermarkets of all time. Edible Dictionary word today is St. Louis ribs. St. Louis ribs are a style of preparing barbecued spare ribs. The ribs come from the lower part of the pig, usually from just past the breastbone. The rack has about a dozen ribs with large bones, but a good deal of meat. They're cooked in a closed smoke pit at 225 to 250 degrees until fully cooked and crusty. The next step is distinctive. St. Louis ribs, after coming off the pit, are often put into a pan full of barbecue sauce and simmered in it for half an hour or so. This makes the ribs very tender, with the meat beginning to fall from the bone. The term is also used in some barbecue places as nearly synonymous with conventional barbecue spare ribs without the simmering. Are you a bone in or falling off the bone rib person, Patty?
Oh, I love them when they fall off the bone.
Do you remember the old Houston's? They're probably still there. The Houston's ribs, which they were kind of famous for back in the day before everybody was doing barbecue, because everybody is doing barbecue now. But the Houston's ribs, I used to really like because they were falling off the bone. And Tom has this thing about you need a little pull to your ribs. And so we argued about that for about 10 years. And now I have come to his line of thinking where I would like to have the ribs stay on the bone, although I'm not going to be upset if it's falling off when it comes. Are you a St. Louis ribs person or a baby back pork rib person?
I like both of them. I didn't think I would like St. Louis ribs until I bought them accidentally one time. They were really good. I don't like a lot of fat on them, and these were very lean and they were very good. So
you like
I like
the ribs?
Them both. Yeah, I like them both.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, you could if you like ribs, then you would have to like both. But if you had to prefer one, I used to prefer the little baby back pork ribs. But the truth of the matter is they don't have a lot of meat on them.
They don't.
So there's a lot more to a St. Louis rib, which is why I understand that they have sort of supplanted baby backs as the more popular one in barbecue places. I think that's true. I mean, I don't usually see ribs that aren't St. Louis ribs in barbecue places anymore. Let's go to Michael 75.
Hello, Dad. I want to thank you and Patty so much for putting Alec Patu on your show.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Uh-oh. It was fabulous. The chicken stew. It was a deliciously dark roux on the stew with a little bite to it. So I ordered four more stews after I ate that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So Alex Patu has a new customer in Michael 75. We knew he would. We knew
what?
He would. I said, I knew that you would become a regular customer.
Yeah. You know, I went to school in Cajun land, and I even practiced law up there for a couple of years. I love the Cajuns. And anything to do with the Cajuns. But, you know, we used to get the crawfish etouffee at certain places, not restaurants. But I've never been able to get it like that since, because they used to put so much of the original crawfish fat in there, you can't hardly get that anymore. People put butter in it and things like that.
Yeah, the fat, look, animal fat is good. It makes food taste better. And as much as we like to say we shouldn't eat it, we do eat it because it tastes good. And that goes for seafood, and that goes for stuff that oozes out of the head of a crawfish, bottom line, or a shrimp. It tastes good. So the more you get of it, the more you like it.
Yeah, exactly. And Emeril said to put this on his tombstone. Pork fat rules.
I'm with him, although he can have that on his tombstone. I'll do something else.
I am too. In fact, I'm trying my first lard tomorrow.
Oh, you are? You are?
Yeah, I got some great lard.
Okay, but what are you, when you say you're frying your first lard, what are you using it?
I'm trying to think. I've got something I saw on one of the food shows that I wanted to try the lard in.
Well, are you making it as part of like a, are you using it like to make tortillas or something? Or are you frying something in it?
It was some kind of beef dish, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's this place on the Food Network, there's this show where, it's in Austin, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, but the meat cooks in its own fat, which sounds gross, but really looks good. Anyway,
yeah,
go ahead, Michael.
Okay, great. Have a good weekend.
Oh, that's it? Okay. TGIF, I forgot to say that. It's the end of the first week of January, and here we go, barreling into a new year. It'll be May before we blink again, I'm sure. 5569696. You know, I like the ribs, the Thai ribs at Zia. Do you like those, Patty, with a little peanut crushed?
I do.
Peanuts
they're
on?
Delicious.
Yeah,
yes.
They are good. We did a, they had this thing middle of last year. I don't know if they're still doing it. Frankly, I didn't care for it. But they had this thing called Rib Lab. Did you hear about that?
No.
It's you know, one of those Instagram things where you know, if you're on Instagram, you see these promotions that you wouldn't see otherwise. But they did something called Rib Lab where they had... You know what a ghost kitchen is?
No.
Okay, so a ghost kitchen, again, the millennials change everything. So
yeah.
You can order food from a kitchen, and you don't know where it is. It's just a kitchen. You do it on social media, and it's delivered to you, and that's how it works. So you order it on the phone. There's no human contact. It shows up at your door and you eat it. And there are a lot of ghost kitchens now. I mean, not a lot, but they're there, and they weren't there 5 years ago. So Rib Lab came out of, I think they were actually maybe not doing a ghost kitchen. I think it might have come from the Covington location, but you ordered it online. That's the only way you could get it. And I think you could pick up. I don't know if they're still doing it. But there were by five or six different kinds of these ribs. And so we had what amounted to a rib schmorball, as they say in Copenhagen. And we had just like six or seven different kinds of ribs. So if you really wanted to gorge on ribs, and we just, it was like a thing to see which ones we liked the best. It was a taste test of ribs. And that was maybe the last time I had Zia ribs. So I'm still kind of digesting those. Not that they were indigestible, just that we had so much of it, I didn't need to eat it for a while. But I do love those Thai ribs, which is odd for me because that's not a flavor I generally would like. It is 2:30, time for Louisiana Radio Network News. We will be back to talk about king cakes.
Louisiana Radio Network News, I'm Kevin Gallagher. Louisiana went before the U.S. Supreme Court to argue against the Biden administration's COVID vaccine mandates for bigger businesses and for healthcare workers. On Zoom, State Solicitor General Liz Morrell says the White House orders are a clear overreach.
It's about whether this federal executive branch agency has the power to force millions of people working for or with a Medicare or Medicaid provider to undergo an invasive, irrevocable, forced medical treatment, a COVID shot.
She calls the mandate an unprecedented bureaucratic power move, but Federal Deputy Solicitor General Brian Fletcher says the mandates are wholly appropriate.
Requiring medical staff vaccination during a pandemic falls squarely within the Secretary's statutory authority to protect the health and safety of Medicare and Medicaid patients.
Louisiana and other states are asking the High Court to uphold injunctions against enforcement of the Biden administration mandates. This is news on LRN.
Tiger Rag, three-time Home Depot Coach of the Year, two-time AP College Football Coach of the Year, 11 seasons at Notre Dame, two college football playoff appearances, and now the head coach of the LSU Tigers, Brian Kelly. Brian
Kelly. What the fadizzle?
I know LSU fans will love Brian
Kelly.
I'm
excited.
Success follows him everywhere he goes. All he does is win.
Winningest coach in Notre Dame history.
Tiger Rag Magazine will be there as LSU ushers in a new era on the gridiron.
He wants to win a championship.
His plan to take this program to the next level.
I want to be.
Is the same as ours.
Under the bright lights.
Not here to taste success.
I want to be.
He's here to sustain.
On the Broadway stage.
Shows where LSU is as a program right now.
We have a lot of talent and a lot of talent coming in.
Super excited.
I want the fans here early, tailgating and having a great time and filling the stadium and being enthusiastic.
Find Tiger Rag on newsstands and online at TigerRag.com.
After 84 weeks of free live stream music shows, FunkyUncle.live has moved our shows to The Howling Wolf so we can bring the funk to you every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're selling tickets at the door and on our website for only $10, and tickets are half off at the door with a valid student ID. And don't worry if you aren't able to join us at The Howling Wolf, FunkyUncle.live will still be live streaming the show every Wednesday for free.
Coming to the FunkyUncle.live stage on January 12th, it's Funk Monkey featuring Arsene DeLay, and on January 19th, Eric Johansson. 100% of proceeds generated from ticket sales goes to the Funk Fund that has raised over $550,000 and helped over 700 musicians and gig workers. So join us for a great cause at The Howling Wolf or at FunkyUncle.live.
You make me feel so young.
Thank you, Tom. 556-9696 is the number. Is Jennifer on the line, Patty?
She is.
Oh, great. Jennifer Samuels is with us. She is the collector of king cakes and is offering them to everyone at the King Cake Hub. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
Happy New Year. Happy carnival season.
Good Happy time carnival. For you.
Okay, so how did this come about? What's your interest in collecting king cakes for sale for people, and how did the idea come about? And what is it, the fourth year now that you're doing it?
This is the fourth year of the Hub.
Okay.
We started making king cakes 10 years ago at our gelato shop. And then as we closed that, we moved it to Pizzanola, and we were baking out of a commissary kitchen. And after one season of King Cakes in the commissary kitchen, we lost all the money we spent on the build out. And, you know, it wasn't a major thing, but we weren't able to use that space again. So it's like, well, we're not going to do that every year. So then we started bringing in other people's King Cakes to Pizzanola. And during this whole time, my family's had a King Cake obsession forever. And my daughter and I would put these crazy list of King Cakes that we wanted to try together. And then anytime me or my husband were out and about in our daily activities, if you went in a certain area, you had to go get that King Cake. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, we were having difficulty getting a decent supply because we only had one vendor for the King Cakes at the pizza place. So he had the clever idea, well, what if we put all the King Cakes together in one place? Wouldn't it be handy if you could just go to one place and get all these crazy King Cakes you want?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I would go there.
Ding! I can't believe no one's ever thought of that, you know? I mean, if you're only 4 years old, it's amazing that no one's thought of that prior to 4 years ago.
It really is. It was kind of a, and to me, it's like, I would definitely do that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I know other people who would.
Sure. And clearly you were right, because you now have a second location at the Historic New Orleans collection. All right. So you're a native? You and your husband are both natives?
I am not. I moved here 25-ish years ago to go to school. But my husband was born and raised. We did lose him. We lost him this year to cancer. But this was something that both of us, and even my daughter, have enjoyed doing so much that there really wasn't a thought about not continuing.
So in your King Cake obsession over the years, was this something that you got by osmosis from your husband, or this is something that you and your daughter just say, hey, these are really good?
Well, even before I met my husband, I ate a rather excessive amount of King Cake. I enjoyed trying as many as I could. Then once I had a family to share them with, I could buy even more King Cakes.
Yeah. Well, actually, you wouldn't necessarily need to buy more, but they would go farther. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go buy some King Cakes just because I want to write a piece on it. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do after I eat a little piece? Because I'm not that big on King Cakes. And I'm thinking, who's going to eat these? I mean, I'm probably going to ship them to my son. But it's a good thing if you live in a house where there are King Cake eaters, because a King Cake is not a little thing. And it's not all that cheap either. So, you know, it's nice.
We do have a few minis, but they get expensive.
Yeah, yeah,
and
they do.
Especially with the rising food here, everybody has had to increase their cost. And the bakeries are trying to be as conservative as they can about passing on cost, and I'm doing the same. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that we don't have to start changing prices again mid-season, because nobody likes that.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, but there are a lot of people who are as King Cake obsessed as you, and they'll just pay it because it's King Cake season, even though every day is King Cake season now, although, you know, that I
don't
I'm
believe
sad
that.
About that. I'm sad about that. But anyway, okay, so who do you have in your King Cake cup? You have two King Cake cups, correct? You have one at the Zony Mash.
We have two King Cake cups.
Okay. Okay.
Our main location is at Zony Mash, and we're open every day, 8:30 to 6, through Lundi Gras. We play on Mardi Gras.
And where is Zony Mash, for people who are not familiar?
Zony Mash is on South Broad. The King Cake Hub is located at the corner of Martin Luther King and South Broad.
Okay. All right. And then the other one.
And then we have the second location this year, which is brand new. We've never had a second location before. They have a little bit smaller. They have a much smaller selection because they don't have the space that we have. Mm-hmm. But they are located in the shop at the Historic New Orleans collection. And that is at 520 Royal Street.
Okay. So how many vendors do you have that are supplying you with king cakes? And how did, with all the king cakes out there, how did these particular vendors get chosen? Or how, what was the procedure for your collection of king cakes?
So I have about 15 different bakeries now. And we have always tried to make sure that this is a relationship that works for the bakeries and it works for us. So we started out with like trying to bring together really different cakes, things that, mm-hmm. you know, weren't really competing against each other, something that each of them was offered something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And as we've grown, we've had to add more vendors, and we have more that are similar, but I still look to make sure that I'm giving them all the business I can. Mm-hmm. And the best example is Randazzo's. We carry Kaywood Randazzo's, but there's like six Randazzo's out there.
Yeah.
And
that's an interesting story, the whole branch of family tree.
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah. Okay, so you have the Kaywood. Now, what makes the Kaywood different? Because I hear it is very different.
So Kenny Kaywood married Susan Randazzo, who's a daughter of Manny Sr. And Kenny, as when he was a younger man, worked in Manny Sr.'s bakery, learned all the tricks, knows the recipe. And now he and his two sons, and they have a daughter who works front of house, and Susan, all that's what they do. And they make these amazing king cakes, and they work their tails off. I keep waiting for them to tell me no more, but they mm-hmm. never do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, this is obviously prime time if you're making king cakes. So, you know, if you never sleep for 6 weeks, then maybe that's just okay, you know, because there seems to be an insatiable appetite for king cakes. I would imagine that everybody sells out of every king cake every day.
Not always, but this year so far, and I think we're going to see it for a while, because honestly, everybody's sort of struggling to keep up with the COVID surge. There's a lot of people calling out, and certainly some of it's COVID and some of it's just being cautious to make sure that, okay, I'm not feeling right today. I don't want to mm-hmm. take chances with other people's health
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
people doing the responsible thing there. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of staffing shortages and just, you know, even to some extent, some supply chain issues.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So you said how many? 13, 15? What did you say?
I believe we're at 15 now. I need to.
15. Okay.
To tally all
so go through your list of 15 in case we hear something that we just got to come run and get, because you said they're different. They're all different. So,
yes.
I mean, I was talking yesterday about, you know, I'm from here, so I remember the days of the bland, boring, dry McKenzie's. So that's my benchmark. And I actually like that one. So I'm not a big king cake fan. Maybe I have it properly bonded with king cake because of McKenzie's. But I would be kind of curious to see what some of these other, you know, different ones are. So let's go through your list.
So I have High Dough, Breads on Oak, Gracious Bittersweet. I have Noka, which is the Old Cake Cafe King Cake. I have Bywater Bakery.
What is the Old Cake Cafe? What is that?
So Cake Cafe was this great little cafe on Charters in the Marigny. They did really good breakfast and lunch, but it was owned by Steve Himmelfarb, who was for years before that. He was the cake guy,
right,
who would
right.
come around
that.
With
mm-hmm.
the slices of cakes. Yeah, those amazing mm-hmm. slices in the middle of the day. It's like, yeah,
right.
afternoon pick me up.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, they closed, gosh, was it maybe 3 years ago? And there was a year, there might have been a time when we didn't have our goat cheese apple cake that he does so well. But then they worked with him through Noka to get him in there to help with the pastry program and the for the students. So now that NOCA's making the cakes, he's overseeing it, and he's brought some of his staff in there, and they work with the kids. The kids are helping do the prep, learning to bake, and learning all the tricks of the trade.
I didn't know there was
a thing. And we get our wonderful cakes.
I didn't know there was a thing for culinary at NOCA. Is there a culinary thing at NOCA?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. They have a wonderful culinary program, and they have the most amazing kitchen in their Press Street Station.
I'm sure that's true. So is Steve Himmelfarb doing anything with cakes now, or is he closed it and he's retired?
Well, he's doing the cakes through NOCA. He's overseeing that program, and he's in there hours with that.
Okay, so that's his regular gig now.
But you can also order some of his cakes still through him directly.
I see. Okay. All right. So that's and this is a particular. You said, is it apple? Is that the king cake?
We have three from them. We have the goat cheese apple, which is the one that everybody is crazy about, raspberry cream cheese, and then this year they're doing a gluten-free cake.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's the NOCA one. You know, we have to take a break. So we're going to take a break and come back with the rest of the list. We were talking to Jennifer Samuels, who is in charge of collecting king cakes from the far corners of the city so that you can just go to one stop and get your king cake fix. We'll be back.
Have you ever eaten something new and wondered where it had been all your life? We thought that about Double D sausage after having it at a friend's house. But restaurants all over town serve it in their gumbo, red beans, and jambalaya. It's made right in Bogalusa, and the company is in its third generation. Double D sausage is a light smoke pure pork sausage with notes of sage and other spices. Try the regular mild and hot and new flavors like the Cajun variety and jalapeno and cheddar. Double D sausage in stores all over town. The best meals always start with the best ingredients. If you're cooking seafood, the best ingredients are at Mandeville Seafood. All local fish, Louisiana shrimp, oysters, crab, crawfish, wild salmon, and Dungeness crabs. With a little notice, Mandeville Seafood can get anything in the seafood universe you may want to try. Mandeville Seafood, celebrating 25 years.
I get misty just holding your hand.
We're back.
All right. So that's one. Tell us about the rest of them.
So Randazzo's I've already talked about. We have Gambino's, which makes one of our, we have their regular king cakes, but they also make a special king cake just for us called the Epiphany.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. The Epiphany is a little different than their regular cake. It's a brioche dough, not an overly sweet cake. It's very light and fluffy, and it has the most amazing, like, cream cheese, buttercream icing, and, like, cake sprinkles on it.
Hmm. Okay. That's interesting that they've got, that they're doing one just for you. So how many do they do for you? Like, do you get a daily delivery?
It varies. Yes, I do get deliveries from them. It depends on, you know, what we think we can do, what they're able to do.
Now, if you were to go to Gambino's, would the Epiphany King Cake be available there, or do they only have it, or do you only have it at the Zony Mesh or the other hub, at the hub?
I believe it's only at the
so
King Cake Hub. And I send that to both stores because that's one that we're so well known for.
Okay. All right.
And then Kaluta's actually makes us a cake as well. They did the Dragon Claw for us, and we don't have it yet this year. They're still trying to catch up with a lot of staffing issues, but they're hoping to get that to us later in the year. But the Dragon Claw is a laminate dough, and it is amazing. And I've had so many people asking for it already, and I hope they'll be able to get it for us in the next couple of weeks. But we
what
carry
is a laminate
that one
dough?
Well. It's
what
like a
that?
Croissant. It's the layered with the butter.
Okay.
So it's got that.
Okay.
It's got
like
that
giant
flaky
croissant.
Layered texture.
Okay. Okay. All right. That sounds good. That does sound good. And does it have a baby in it? Is it like a
Oh, yes. It is a regular king cake. It's just folded into folded again and again and again. It's a lot of work because it's time-consuming having to keep working all those layers in.
Right, yeah. Okay, so tell us some other ones.
I have Sugar Love out of Slidell, and she is just a creative genius. Like, she's come up with so many clever little things. She makes a king cake on a stick. So think of like a corn dog and how convenient and not messy that can be unless you slather it with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But so you've got that neat little king cake on a stick. They make a king cake nugget, which is little bitty, like 8-ounce clamshell. And it has a few of the little, kind of like almost the size of a donut hole.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the cinnamon and the little bit of icing on them. But instead of trying to fill those, it's like a dipper, which my daughter's just crazy about. She loves it to put those in her lunch and like at her little table, everybody can have their little bite.
Okay. I'm sure she's very popular in the lunchroom.
She usually gets to be very popular around king cake season. Her friends will give her requests that what they want her to bring in her lunch.
I have no doubt. Okay, what else do you have?
Oh, let's see. What else? What am I forgetting? I should have brought the menu.
It's only about six. That's only six, I think, if I'm counting right. Maybe seven.
Oh,
so you did the Noka, you did Gambino's, Kaluta, Sugar Love, Randazzo, five.
Okay, did I talk about Hido? We've got Hido from the West Bank.
You did, but I don't think you explained it. What is it? What makes it
so
special?
So Hido, they're wonderful bakery, been around for a long time. Mr. and Mrs. Doe are in there working crazy long hours. They bring in all their kids. It's a neat family.
Their name is actually Doe.
Project. The last name is Doe.
Hmm.
D-O.
Not D-O-U. Okay, I was about to say, please not D-O-U-G-H. Okay.
No. So
okay.
Oh, and I have Canadas out of Houma, and Canadas makes some amazing cakes. So many different choices of filling. I can't possibly carry all that they offer, but they really do some interesting and creative things. They've got a snickerdoodle, which has won a number of awards. They do a white chocolate bread pudding, new with them this year. Well, actually, we started getting it at the end of last year, is the pecan. It is made with Louisiana pecans and then Good Earth bourbon. really good, rich.
Oh, wow.
Cake.
Uh-huh. You know, I might like one of those. See, I'm not a king cake fan, but some of these are interesting enough that I could get turned on to a king cake. All right, keep going.
And then they're doing our coterie, which we have a subscription that we sell before the season. So with the subscription, you get a cake on 12th night and then a cake that picks up every Tuesday. And we really encourage our bakeries. I throw it out there to the bakeries first that I already have on hand. I throw it out there to, you know, give me something fun. Give me something creative and different. You know, this is just, it's not, sometimes it'll be something we'll carry again. And sometimes it'll be like, that was interesting.
So this is like a wine club or something. Is it delivered or what?
We don't deliver. So we do ask people to come in and pick it up, but it's 12 night and then
but
every
it's,
Tuesday
it's
after.
Set for them. So they are sure to get something.
They are sure to get that particular cake.
I see.
And
okay.
I'll usually, if my bakeries have the capacity, I'll order some extra because I've got a lot of people who don't really want to commit to the whole subscription. Because you know how it is with a subscription. There might be something there that you just aren't crazy about.
Right. Yeah.
So they don't want to commit to the
whole
subscription.
Maybe you're not finished eating the last one, you know? So.
Yep. But they really want some of them. So we always try to bring in some extra. Sometimes the bakeries don't really have the capacity to do that. But anyway, I was getting to Canadas is doing one that I am so excited about. This week is going to be the salted caramel, which they've, I guess, had on their menu in their store as a possibility for a while, but they brought it to us at the end of last year. And I'm like, why have you been hiding this? It was so mm-hmm. good. So I'm really excited that we're going to have that. We also have Brennan's, which mm-hmm. they have a brand new cake this year, which is they gave us a long tease on it. They called it their special release. They wouldn't even tell me what it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And then they announced it in late December that it was going to be Bananas Foster. And it was like, mm-hmm. oh, of course, they should have. Yes, that's exactly what they should be doing. And it is amazing. I didn't think I was going to get one yesterday because we sold through them so fast. But we had mm-hmm. a pre-order that hadn't picked up at the end of the day. So I'm like, yeah, that's mine. Mm-hmm. And it was so good. It tastes like that Bananas Foster. It is a good, rich cake. A little bit of rum in it.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Bywater Bakery.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Chaya Conrad and her husband Alton in Bywater, they have, and I don't know if you saw this, they had a really nice write-up in one of the national, was it New York Times recently? One of the national media outlets carried a really great article on what a community builder that location is uh-huh. and what she does there. Mm-hmm. She's an amazing baker, created that Chantilly cake that's so famous.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Find it everywhere now. But, obviously I think hers is the best. She does a Chantilly king cake, which has that Chantilly icing, mm-hmm. that Chantilly cream icing in it, mm-hmm. as well as those fresh Louisiana berries. She has Azul Dolce blueberry king cake, which she uses that local blueberry from Azul, and it's a really good, that blueberry's a little on the tart side to me, mm-hmm. and then they keep that. I mean, they cook it down into a jam, but it's not an overly sugared jam, so it still uh-huh. has that really good tart flavor that I love. And then also carry the Carnival from them.
All right, so you've got about 3 minutes.
Cool savory.
Three minutes. What's one that you definitely want to get in on the list? And then we're going to get the details of where they can get it.
What else? I can't even think of. I'm sorry. I wish I'd have brought the menu out.
What are your best sellers? Like, what do you know you're going to always sell out of?
High dough always goes pretty fast. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting as many of those. The Epiphanies, usually we fly through those. And I sell crazy amounts of the Randazzo cakes.
I'm
and
sure.
Palutas as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's
and
flaky,
Gambino's cakes, yeah.
Well, so all of them, in other words.
And all of them.
Uh-huh. So, and then the best part about it is you get to eat them all day if you want.
That sounds good.
Well, we usually stay fairly busy, but in my household, we have a special diet that we go on where everybody needs to eat king cake at least once a day. And somehow it works out for us. We lose weight.
Well, it's because you're so, so busy. I mean, I can just imagine how busy it is at the King Cake Hub every day during carnival season. All right, so details on where the King Cake Hub is again, and so people can go, and this is going to be through carnival, but not Mardi Gras Day, correct?
No, we're going to play on Mardi Gras. We work too hard. We got to have our one
day to
play.
Lundi Gras is your last day, so go on over there and get it before you can. Yeah, all right. So where is it? Zony Mash is located again.
Zony Mash, we're at 1464 South Broad, which is at the corner of Martin Luther King and South Broad. And then our second pop-up location is in the shop at the Historic New Orleans Collection, and they are at 520 Royal Street, and they are closed on Monday, but otherwise 9:30 to 4:30, and then Sundays they open an hour later at 10:30.
And you have about 15 of them at Zony Mash and less of them at the Historic New Orleans Collection.
Yeah, I'm trying to send at least 10 to 15 cakes a day, different varieties of cake mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. We're a little inconsistent right now with what we're offering. We're mixing it up a little bit to send different things each day, and we're going to see what goes there. We were impressed the first day that it was really a local crowd. We thought it was going to be more tourists, but the locals were so excited to have a French Quarter spot, especially those that work down there.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, Jennifer Samuels, with the King Cake Hub. It's a great idea. I can't believe no one thought of it before 4 years ago, but it's a great thing that we have at least now. So are you going to be adding, I mean, is there a limit to what you can take? Or, I mean, might we see more next year even?
I could add. Now, the thing about adding is I'm not going to do anything that's going to cut into any of my other baker's business. So I am always looking for new and interesting things.
Yeah.
And
okay, that's a good number.
People are always creating them.
Good. All right. Thank you. Happy Mardi Gras. I'm sure I'll see you in the Mardi Gras season. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm going to have to go over there because some of those sound really, really good. And maybe I can break through my my king cake malaise with one of those king cakes. They certainly sound interesting enough. All right. We are going to be back with the guys from Epcot. We are going to be talking to the food and beverage director, Dave Keating, the GM, and Al Youngman, the culinary director at Epcot in Orlando. WGSO New Orleans, 3 o'clock, news time, Louisiana Radio Network.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A swing and a miss when it comes to job growth. Fed saying only 199,000 jobs were added in December, well below expectations of more than 400,000. President Biden putting a positive spin on the jobs report.
Today's national unemployment rate fell below 4% to 3.9%, the sharpest one-year drop in unemployment in United States history. The first time the unemployment rate has been under 4% in the first year of a presidential term in 50 years.
Flight disruptions that have been impacting air travelers and airlines in the past 2 weeks aren't going away. More than 3,200 U.S. flights are canceled or delayed so far today. The flights canceled due to winter weather on the East Coast, along with coronavirus cases continuing to soar. USA Radio News.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Remembrance is coming in for an Oscar winner who passed away.
Sidney Poitier, a Bahamian-American actor, film director, activist, and ambassador, has died at the age of 94.
Man needs a woman to back him up here.
What?
Mama would listen to you. You know she listens to you. Won't you do me and Benny? She thinks more of you. Look, all you got to do is sit down with her one morning when you're having your coffee and talking about things like you do. Just say kind of easy like that you've been thinking about this little deal Walter Lee's so interested in about the store and all. Just keep sipping away at your coffee like what you're saying ain't that important to you. Before you know it, she's listening good and asking you questions.
Sidney in the film A Raisin in the Sun from 1961, a cause of death was not given. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
A judge is formally dismissing a misdemeanor groping charge filed against New York Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo. The move comes after the Albany County District Attorney said he could not successfully prosecute the case. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The pediatric hospitalization rate from COVID-19 is the highest it's been since the pandemic started. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky isn't completely sure why, but has some ideas.
We are still learning more about the severity of Omicron in children and whether these increases we are seeing in hospitalization reflect a greater burden of disease in the community or the lower rates of vaccination for these children.
We'll have a sunny sky today. Sunny starting the day tomorrow, but the clouds are building in with an afternoon chance of showers. Better chance tomorrow night, and then likely overnight, Saturday night, and in the morning. Sunday tapering off through the day. Then we're back to partly cloudy skies and a colder Monday. Today to the low to mid-50s, tonight 50-ish. Warms up over the weekend each day. Low 70s tomorrow, followed by the upper 70s Sunday. Colder for the morning Monday with lows of 50, gusty. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. Again, once in a blue moon, New Orleans Stamp Burst, Stamp Fest, exhibiting tons of numismatic and philatelic material. Friday, February 11th, 10 to 6. Saturday, February 12th, 10 to 4. At the Wyndham Gardens Hotel, 6401 Veterans Boulevard, Metairie. I-10, exit 225. Free parking, free admission, hourly door prizes, sponsored by the Crescent City Stamp Club. More information and dealer inquiries at 504-335-5219.
Hour number two, or as Tom likes to say, the second course of the food show. I'm Marianne Fitzmaurice, talking food as we have for 33 years here in New Orleans. We have Dave Keating, the general manager of Epcot Food and Beverage, on the line. Along with him is Al Youngman, the culinary director. Welcome, gentlemen. I really appreciate you calling.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, I think that your job must be monumental, and I am, first of all, are either of you the originals in this position? It's been, well, you can't be, because Epcot's, what, 45 years running, so.
Coming up on 40 years very soon, this October 1st, we're hitting our 40th anniversary.
Okay, so absolutely not. Neither one of you would have started in this position, but I do want to get some history about what it took to craft all of these menus. I mean, we're Americans, and I always talk about fake American food because our food is so unlike everything that you're dealing with in all of these countries because they don't have a lot of the food processing that we do. So it must be really a unique thing to have to find and source these things and craft menus that are authentic for these countries. And how did, can you speak to the history of this, of what it was like to get this going?
Yes, this is Al. And, we work internally with all of our chefs, and we have, very diverse chefs in the company. And we try to use those resources to make sure that we tell the stories of the countries and the authenticity of that. And we also have partners that, for Walt Disney World in general, that source our products that we can get that are, either authentic from the region or locally manageable to use and for us to create them on property.
Okay, so are your chefs, how many countries are we talking about, first of all?
Yeah, we have 11 different countries represented around our World Showcase here at Epcot that are here anytime the guests come out. But for our different festivals, we could have up to 40-plus different countries represented. So we may do things like Thailand or the Swiss Alps, Portugal, Spain, for some of our food festivals. And so to Al's point, having that diversity in our cast base really helps us make sure that we're really telling the true story and the authentic menu items as they would experience it in the country. And, yeah. And fortunately for Walt Disney World, we have some sourcing professionals. That's all their job is to do, where some individual operators you know, they are the sourcing person as well as the chef, as well as the general manager. But, you know, we have a team that does nothing but source the products we ask them to source. Mm-hmm. And so the good part is, you know, there's a team of professionals. One of the hardest things for us is to source the volume that we do, because we have quite a few folks that join us in our parks. And so sometimes some of our vendors can't keep up with us. Sometimes we have to use multiple vendors for a single ingredient for some of our menu items.
I can believe that. But I think it must be incredibly difficult. I'm sure you have it down to a science now. But considering the fact that, first of all, these are a diverse group of countries, and you are dealing with tourists, so you never really know who's going to be there to eat the food. So it must be really a dance to get it right in terms of the amount of food that you offer versus what is consumed. I would imagine that's, you know, a dicey proposition sometimes, at least, huh?
Yeah, it is. And like Dave said, you know, it's the storytelling, you know, and if we can get as close as we can to, you know, the regions or the countries that we're using, you know, it entices our guests to try stuff new, right? And to, you know, keep them coming back, you know, to try, try things new. Sometimes we may not hit the authenticity of the country itself because, you know, in many different countries like ours, you know, our mom's recipe is different than another mom's recipe, but we try to hit the mark as close as we can and try to fit it into the whole story of Epcot and World Showcase.
Yeah, and when we prepare for the volume of guests that are coming into our park, we have some good folks that really give us some guidance on how many people we expect to be in our park each and every day. So we can be pretty close. Obviously, there's many different factors. If it rains or if it was supposed to rain and it's a perfect day, you know, that may shift our guest count up. So just like in any hospitality area. So we take those adjustments day out, but our team does a very good job in letting us know how many people to expect. And then our chefs can order enough food appropriately and then prep enough food appropriately as well.
So what 11 countries are we talking about?
So we go around the showcase. So we start off at Mexico, then we go into China, then we have Norway, Italy, then of course our we go to Germany, our host country, which is the American Adventure. Then we go to Japan, Morocco, France, the UK, and Canada.
Okay, so I would imagine that, like, I'll give you an example. I was talking about this earlier on the show because I was in Rome at a really nice hotel buffet, and they had certain areas of the world where they had the breakfast food for this particular area. Like, they had fish for breakfast in Japan and salad, which is, you know, completely counterculture to what we're used to. So do you have enough people to support something like that? Like, I would imagine you don't want to get too exotic, right? I mean, do you keep it pretty much reined in for American tastes?
So a little bit of both. With the variety of countries that we have around World Showcase, and then in the front of our park, the World of Nature, the World of Celebration, and the World of Discovery, that's the second half of the park, which are typically American-style cuisine. So the guests, besides the countries around World Showcase, have a wide variety that if they can't find something there to their liking, they can find something in front of the park. And so a good example is in Norway. You know, traditionally, you know, fish is very popular, and some pickled herring. And so when we're open with Norway, we would have pickled herring, but it doesn't get a lot of take rate compared to some of the other cuisine. But for some people, they appreciate it, and we're representing the culture properly. But some things will be popular for some guests more than others.
Yeah, I'm sure you're Italian. Menu is probably the one that is most popular of the group that you just mentioned. And I would imagine that Norway, yes, would be one of the lesser popular ones. I mean, I always say we like our fake American food, you know, and so I'm glad that you have a place for people who are not quite so adventuresome. Who does the menus? Do the menus change very much?
Yes, the chefs actually do all the creations and through the guidance of Dave and myself for an overall park portfolio. They bring them to our attention. We do tastings. And like I said, we